Da Bears.
What is up? The boys are back. Episode 82 of Da Bear Minimum Podcast. Guys, today is Wednesday, August 23rd. Joined with the bestest friends in the whole world. Producer Jake is here.
Howdy.
Intern Jose is back. Welcome back, Intern
Jose. How's it going, everybody? Thanks for having me back.
Welcome back. I didn't know he worked for us anymore. Look at this. You see who's here, Jake?
I see it. I see it. It's got a nice shirt.
Still not paying me.
No, and
doesn't
actually,
look like it.
Actually, big news here. Speaking of paid interns, unpaid interns, I'd like to introduce a new intern. You guys have heard him before, but we're happy to bring on a new intern. Now we have three interns. A paid intern. Shout out to the paid intern. Shout out Chef Trev, joining the podcast.
Happy to be here. Hey, Trev. For my annual appearance.
Yeah, but now
it's always a ride.
Now you're on the payroll.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one episode a year, that's still a salary. That is a payroll.
It's more than I get.
Taxable income.
Jose, immediate reaction. Go.
No, I mean, I think it's nice for nepotism here. Where
we're
Trevor's
a big nepotism podcast here.
Just leech off of Jake and get some money. Meanwhile, the Brown brother gets nothing, but it is what it is. You know.
Don't look at me when you say that. All right? I tried for you. I tried for you. I tried for us. Guys, I'm Marcos, and again, this is Da Bear Minimum Podcast. We are broadcasting from the hottest place in the entire world, hell. It's
the surface of the sun.
The surface of the sun. We're in the middle of the sun right now.
Yeah, I think the heat index is 117 when I pulled in.
It's nice.
The air is all water.
This is ridiculous.
You can drink it. It's terrible.
This is ridiculous. And it's just one of those things where, like,
I feel bad for you. Just outside.
Big guy, dark polo, dog.
And outside.
Outside all day.
All day.
Sweating. There's no, dude, I get out of the car instantly.
Yeah.
I, like, don't even want to shake people's hands after I'm done talking with them because, like, I've got sweaty wrists, sweaty hands. It ain't right. This is fucked up. This is really, really fucked up. I can't wait for fall.
Yeah, it can't come soon enough for more than one reason.
I mean, but it's just like you just now feel like with the change, like, other than this week. This week will be hot as shit, but we're 2 weeks away from football. Guys, we're so close. We're so close to hoodies and bonfires. We're so close to windows open. Just grilling out tailgates. We're right there.
Hoodies and shorts.
Mm-hmm. Hoodies and shorts.
So close.
Dude, it's the best season. It's the best season. But it's 110 degrees outside. So we're fucking dead. Guys, what's been up with you guys? As far as the interns, what you guys been up to?
Not much, man. Just working. Getting ready for fantasy football season. Hyping myself up to believe, my team is going to be actually good. Talking about the Packers.
Are you a mock draft guy?
I'm a huge mock draft
guy. Like, how many a day?
I'm not doing anything at work. So, like, five, six a day.
God. You change up the position? Or you, like, know where you're drafting?
No, I know where I'm drafting.
Okay.
I just try different strategies.
Gotcha.
It's pathetic when I hear it out like that.
I'll do
delete that, dude. That doesn't sound good.
I'll do like two.
Clip that, yeah.
I'll do like two, before a draft, just to get a feel, and that's it. Then I'm running with what I got.
See, I'm par the course for me. I'm always the guy that says, like, this is the year I'm going to do mock drafts, and I'm going to be so ready, and I'm going to do multiple positions because most of my leagues that I'm in, I don't really find out draft position. Like, our league is, like, the game, and you play it, so you don't really know where you're drafting. Mm-hmm. And then the league that I run, we do it a couple days beforehand as far as just, like, a random draft order. So, like, I'm always like, oh, yeah, this is the year. I'm going to do multiple ones, and time escapes me. And it's 30 minutes before the draft, and I'm looking at top 250 rankings, and I'm like, okay, this is what it's going to be.
Locked and loaded.
I'm good with it. I'm ready for it.
I do a lot of podcasts. I, like, listen to stuff, but mock drafts, I can't trust the fucking jabronis out there just drafting.
Well, plus,
like,
they all, like, abandon it.
Yeah, like, after, like, they're just, like, want to see how the first, like, 36
and you're just
picks go.
Picking
just,
against a computer.
Yeah, because I'm not doing, like,
and that's just chalk at that point.
Like 12th round. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing? Like, 12th round mocks when, like, literally if one pick goes differently in real life, that whole mock and that everything is just completely gone. Mm-hmm.
I do need to clarify one thing. I am not doing mock drafts.
Oh, you already said
people.
It, you addict.
I'm doing it with AIs. So it's the fantasy pros that just, I could get it done, a mock draft in like 5 minutes. So
he's just cranking them out.
I'm just cranking them out. So, but I'm not doing those long,
I don't know,
hour and a half.
I don't know if it's better or worse. Is that a little crack or like one sesh?
Just a little hit?
Just a little bump. Just a little
speed
burning.
I'm seeing how fast I can get through it.
So, is it the end of the world? We got wildfires? We got mudslides?
Where's the doomsday clock at?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's been a while since we referenced the clock.
It's got to be I mean, we're basically almost the end of the day anyways, so.
Russian Civil War possibly, too, now that that Wagner head was killed in that helicopter crash. Russia shot it down.
I know nothing about this.
Big news. Big, big news.
Uh-huh.
I'm so out of touch in, like, news.
Like, world news.
I don't know anything. I know nothing. I go to, like, lunch meetings with vendors, and they talk about stuff. I'm like, wow, no, I didn't hear that. Or they'll talk politics halfway through the meet, like through the lunch. I'm just like, you guys do mock drafts?
You want to talk White Sox? Yeah, guys, it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world, and like 2 weeks before the Bears go on their Super Bowl campaign. Like, of course, this is my luck. This is how this is gonna go. What else, guys? Anything else? Trev, what you been up to?
I just got back from vacation.
Where'd you go?
I was out in South Carolina for 4 days and some change. Did a road trip.
Did you go surfing?
Yeah. I mean, Jake, big surfing crowd in Charleston, I noticed. There was about 40 people boogie boarding or like bodyboarding like on the wake, and not a single surfer along the three beaches we visited. So, no, I did not.
It's not
surfing.
The time of year, though. It was like a month ago.
I saw like 20 foot waves. Like, that has to be surfable.
Oh, okay. So it was surfable. You just went on a bad day.
I went on a bad day.
Bad day for surfing.
Saturdays, really? With 15 foot waves
no goes. What time were you there? What time were you there?
We were there in the morning before it got balls hot.
Yeah, see, they're there at like sunrise. We're like 5 a.m. That's surfing hour.
That's golfing hour.
Yeah, it is golfing hour. We're talking about oceans and stuff right now, waves. Can I tell you guys, and this is a hands-up moment for me, this is a I learned on vacation thing. No judging, right? Trust tree.
20-foot waves?
Yeah.
20-foot waves?
Way out there? Oh, shit, yeah.
I learned about tide. I learned that there is an actual...
Do you know how it works?
I don't know how it works, but I know that it happens. Because
right.
when you
just learned that tide happens,
brother,
like the two different times you went to the beach,
like
you
were
the, just like,
yeah, like, so
how is the water all the way out there?
So we get set up and I'm like, we got a perfect spot.
This will blow your mind. I'll tell you how it works.
I'm like, nobody's fucking here. We're going to set up right here. We're going to be here all fucking day. And somebody's like, no, like it's low tide right now. Like the tide will come up and then we'll have to move. Like, what the fuck do you mean the tide will come up? They're like, yeah, high tide. And they explained it to me. And I was shocked.
So what do they tell you?
Well, basically just told me that the water comes
out,
that the water comes up, right. And the levels change. And so then immediately I think, because everything in my life refers back to SpongeBob, yeah. And like you've experienced high tide. And I was like, I don't know. I just thought that was like a sea term or something. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
It is a sea term.
It is a sea term. I didn't really know what it meant. Mind blown. How does it happen?
This will blow your mind even more. Gravity. So,
what?
In fact, it's more gravitational pull from the moon. So the moon has a gravitational pull, right? So as the Earth rotates, certain points of the Earth are closer to the moon than other points. So the water is being pulled towards the moon. And so it recedes from the coast.
Fuck,
and then
me.
As that portion of the Earth rotates away from the moon, it comes back.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Science, dude.
Crock of shit.
Do you know this?
Yeah, because remember Bill O'Reilly? I don't know if you guys ever saw that clip. He's like,
I remember him.
Tides go in, tides go out. You can't explain that. And like somebody was like, yeah, actually I can. What the fuck? But, so that was my first introduction to tides. I was like, I probably should look that up.
But, no way. Magnets. No, can't explain that.
Fucking magic.
Tide goes
dude.
In, tide goes out. You can't explain that. That's my new saying. That's going to be my email.
Email signature.
I will say, though, I am afraid of the ocean, like at its like depths. And just, I mean, obviously, water is like, water doesn't give a shit. And water doesn't care.
Water wins.
Yeah. But like we went and walked like one of the beaches at like 10 p.m. And one of the beaches out there like has a pier that goes like 1,200 feet out. And like we walked.
That's
it.
Crazy to me.
Yeah. And it was like, I mean, you're out there and it's just pitch black forever. And it's just, yeah. I don't know how people are like seamen, for lack of a better one.
Sure. Sure about that.
But yeah, people that are on the water for like their jobs and like careers, those are fucking psychopaths.
Well, it's just one of those things where like you don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
We know nothing about what's underneath the, like at the bottom of the ocean. Like that's why people were obsessed with that, like Titan, the Titan game.
We know the Titans at the bottom of the ocean.
Submersible or whatever. Yeah.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
At the bottom, what's left of it. It's just, dude, it's scary.
It is.
It's.
Did you guys see the video of that kid that jumped off the cruise boat at night?
Like,
and just fucking died?
Gone.
Just died.
I mean, like, a cruise is not going to turn around. Like, they're going to be like, ah, we lost him 13 knots ago.
Like, these people are thinking, like,
in the pitch fucking black.
Throw him a life vest. He'll swim to it.
Yeah, it was like, he jumped off, and like, literally, like, 10 seconds after, he was just gone.
Yeah, it was like at night, and like, you just see, like, the, like, his skin just, like, fade into black, and it's just.
Well, that was when we were in Seattle and we saved that guy's life.
Oh, we saved that guy's life.
But so there's this guy who was kite surfing, like in the ocean or whatever. We went out there to drink beers and basically watch the sunset as bros do.
Nice.
And so it was the four of us and we're sitting there and we just got fixated on this guy that was kite surfing, but he was in the water and
I wouldn't call it kite, like he wasn't,
he was
kite surfing.
Attempting to.
That's better.
And so he couldn't get the kite back in the air after it landed in the ocean, and he was just moving, right? He's just drifting, but it's the sun is going down and we're like, maybe we call, I guess. And so we called the Coast Guard first, but they didn't answer. And so we called 911 next. And they're like, we'll call the Coast Guard. Like, good luck. And so, but we're sitting there. And then all of a sudden, we see like a helicopter flying, you know, out, way out in the distance. But it's kind of coming our way. We're like, that can't be for this, right? And so as the whole thing progresses, it was. And I was like, you know, like, kind of makes sense. Like, if it gets dark, he's kind of gone. Like,
gone.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? You can't find him in the dark. So, like, they only had 20 minutes and had to find him as quickly as possible. So
it was
just
a whole ordeal.
Yeah, it was crazy. All of a sudden, helicopter flies over within a minute. Like, 10 boats come out of, jeez, like, police boats and all.
Wow. Ambulances, Coast Guard. We got a call back. That was really funny. We got a call back from the, dispatcher, Coast Guard, whoever it was, but it just says United States government on the caller ID. We're like, fuck.
Never in my life have I gotten this call.
Fuck this. We saved a guy's life. I totally forgot about that.
Good times.
Good times. Guys, anything else you want to get into now? We got a long one, so let's get into it. Sponsors, voicemails, none this week. If you guys are looking to sponsor an episode, you're looking to sponsor the pod, you just want to leave the boys a little tip, Venmo tip jar is always open at the bare minimum on Venmo. If you're looking to leave a voicemail, you can always send us an audio file. You can email us anything you want to do. We're happy to play it. Guys, let's get into it. We'll talk Chicago Bears first, right? We're through 2 weeks of the preseason. Looking forward to this game three. Now this is the final game. And there's not a lot of sunshine and roses I can paint you right now. Everybody's dead. Everybody's dead.
Everybody's dead?
Oh, dude, everybody's dead. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, what happened?
The list of players who did not practice today. We've got Darnell Wright, starter. You got Nate Davis, starter. You got Lucas Patrick, hold on, starter. You got Tevin Jenkins, starter. You got Eddie Jackson, starter. Jaquan Brisker, starter. Chase Claypool, pivotal piece. Velus Jones, basically the mop guy. Travis Homer, you got Foreman, Cheston Ebner, a couple guys I don't know, Blackwell, Gates, Lewis. You got Mercedes Lewis, but he's basically 60 years old, so I don't think he's going to practice anyways. You got Dante Pettis, Yannick Ngakoue, you got Rashad Green, you got DeMarcus Walker. We got a guy named Reed. Guys, we've got a lot of people that are out. When you look at this offensive line and the injuries that are happening right now, you basically, with the injury to Darnell Wright at right tackle.
Real quick, though, you just named off a lot of names. Is there reasons for these, or is it just did not practice?
Some injuries, that's the issue right now is we don't know because they don't release their injury report until Thursdays, and you don't really find out availability because it's game prep weeks and stuff like that.
Right.
You only hear from Eberflus, and that dude is a great media guy. He doesn't tell you anything. So it's fine. I get what you're getting at. Like, is this a veteran rest day for a lot of these guys? Sure. For some of these guys, it might be a veteran day. I named you off 19 people.
Huh?
I named you 19 people.
Yeah.
With, like, 15 that are pivotal pieces in like the start of this season. And even if they're just getting veteran days and some are nicks and bumps and stuff like that, can't help but feel a little worried.
Not concerned.
I know.
That does.
I picked up on that. I picked up on that real quick.
That does not concern me.
So does the offensive line issues concern you? So right now,
yeah, that concerns. That's a little bit of a concern.
A little bit?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a concern.
It's got to be a lot of bit of a concern.
I think a lot of bit.
Like I said, you don't have Darnell Wright right now. That's an ankle injury, and it's seeming he was seen in a brace today. So you're thinking mid to high ankle sprain. But I'm no doctor here. I just play one on TV. Right guard, who would have been right guard, is Nate Davis. We know the saga with that. Either the guy just doesn't like to practice or he's the best bullshitter in the world. Cody Whitehair, your starting center, is now your starting left guard because he hurt his hand. And Tevin Jenkins hurt both of his calves. It's a calf strain stemming from maybe a back issue. And we've talked about that. The only continuity there is your second year left tackle, fifth round pick, Braxton Jones. That's the only starter that's actually playing where he's supposed to be. So, again, I think it's a huge concern. And it's a concern to the point where, like, if you're Matt Eberflus and you're this staff, you have to question to yourself, like, is it worth it for me to send Justin and the rest of the ones out there? Like, am I doing it? Am I going to find out anything more about Justin Fields playing with scrubs when I just watched him for 18 games last year?
Where did you get this list from?
Courtney Cronin. At Courtney R. Cronin on X.
I think to answer your question, dude, I hate that so much. Stupid. When I see that come on a chat,
I haven't updated my app.
Damn.
I'm still a Twitter user.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
I think, yeah, to answer your question, I do think it benefits Justin Field to go out there and even toss to like people that probably are not going to make the team. This is the year, kind of like a make or break year, I think, for Justin Fields. And pretty much, actually, this is his offense. You guys invest a lot of capital. Not even just money, but just like, you know, first round pick on right. You want to see them out there. You want to see them get snaps in there, especially with a divisional game in week one. So, yeah, ideally, I know I want my quarterback to play week one, game three of the preseason though. But, yeah, it's those injuries are piling up pretty quickly. But thankfully, I don't think any of them are too serious.
I don't think
they're
injuries.
Right? Like the Darnell Wright one, he's nicked up.
Darnell Wright's hurt. Cole Kmet was taken off. He walked to the cart, but then was taken off the practice field on the cart. Couldn't walk any further. You just got a couple. Like I said, the Tevin Jenkins injury is one you're talking about. Like Biggsy's reporting that you're talking 6 weeks that the guy's going to miss. So like I'm with you, Jake. And I painted you a picture of doom and gloom. And some of these guys are definitely veteran rest days. But even if some of them aren't and it's just nicks and bumps, like, dude, we're 2 weeks in. Like, I know you got to get into football shape and you got to get your body used to this. And it's a process. But it's just like, dude, you really need – you need some of these guys, especially your off-season acquisitions or the guys that you're expecting stuff out of year two. You really need these guys to be available, to be playing, to be getting these reps together. So you hit that week one, especially if you go the route of not playing your starters because of injuries. You need to find some sort of continuity on the practice field even. And you're just – I'm worried that you're not getting it right now.
And I think with those, like, nicks and bruises, like you said, I mean, they can either – they can go either way in terms of, like, healing up, or it can be a lasting thing all season where – you lose a week, you lose 2 weeks because, or like a player misses 2 weeks down the line just because like they're feeling something again and something sensitive. And then, I mean, they're like, obviously those big boys are in the trenches, like, you know, hand to hand combat with some other big boys. Yeah. I mean, like it, I'm with you, Marcos. It is concerning, especially on those guys in the front lines. I mean, it's those nicks and bruises can easily get worse just as well as they can get better.
Well, but, and I mean, when they come back, when these guys come back, you know, there's a rush shaking off period and you got to regel and stuff like that. And I mean, it's just, hey, like it is what it is. I get it. Like it's football and you have to be ready for injured. If you're scared, get a dog. You know what I mean? But it's just,
do you ever, I mean, and like soft tissue and shit like that.
Those
I mean,
are the ones.
That's
do you ever see that video of Wayne Gretzky, basically calling everybody soft and their training regimen stupid?
No, he's
like doing an interview and they're asking him like how he trained and everything. He's like, oh, well, we would, you know, we would skate for 2 to 3 hours in the morning, go have lunch and then come back and skate for another 2 to 3 hours. He's like, the unions wouldn't allow you to do that these days. But that's what we did. He's like, now all these guys are like getting on the bike and, you know, doing all this stuff. He's like, I don't think Lance Armstrong ice skated before riding the Tour de France or whatever. He's like, you got to play the game.
Yeah. And that's where there's two kind of trains of thought with that. You know, and you see it throughout the league. You see either there's some teams that are playing their guys. You know, there's guys like Patrick Mahomes, like Andy Reid, and who am I to tell a Hall of Fame coach that he's wrong in this? But, like, the Chiefs starters are playing a half. They played, I think they played a full quarter. They're going to play a half this weekend. Like, there's teams that are doing it, and then there's other teams that say, I don't want to play my guys. I don't want to see injuries. Where do you guys stand with that? Are you a play your guys, or are you a sit the guys because you're worried about injuries?
I'm a play your guys, especially if you're a team that doesn't have a lot of continuity. So, like, Packers, I'm a Packers fan, obviously, and new QB has to adjust to new weapons. Yeah, I want to see them out there as much as I can. Just to build that, what's the word? Have that connection with their wide receivers. I think I bitched about this with Aaron Rodgers last year, like not participating in anything and then being surprised that he doesn't have chemistry with his wide receivers. There's an obvious reason as to why that is. If you're Pat Mahomes and you have still Tyreek Hill, you still have guys that you played with for multiple years, maybe you don't go out there and you play game three. But if you're literally anybody else that is striving to like reach that next level, that know that you need to improve on something, yeah, go out there. Injuries suck for sure, but you have to like get that continuity before week one comes because it's really, really soon.
Where are you at, Trev?
I'm with Jose. I think you got to play your guys at least a quarter, a series, a half, something like progressive through the preseason. But, I mean, injuries can happen anywhere. I mean, in baseball, we've seen guys get injured like running in their field and like hitting a pothole. We've seen guys get injured on bikes.
In a fight.
Yeah, fights. I mean, like
jumping up and down and celebrating.
Yeah, I mean, like there's injuries that could happen anywhere, anytime, practice, preseason, regular season. I mean, injuries are inevitable and like you can't avoid them. I mean, they just do happen. I think game speed is very real. And I mean, obviously in practice, like there is still collisions and there is tackling and you hear about like these fights between teams. But I mean, once again, like
you
need to like have that pressure of the four downs, the crowd, just the opponent. I mean, and it is different from those combined practices to a preseason. And yeah, I think you need to see those guys play.
You just don't want to be the team that like sits your players and then shows up week one and lays an egg. And that, cause it's just like, you can't lose in the NFL. Like there's no ramp up time. You don't have enough games to start slow.
Yeah.
You can't have like a slow May, like you can in baseball.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not baseball where you have 160 chances to win games. Like you have 17 games.
Yeah. But if Justin Fields gets injured in a meaningless week two preseason game, what do those 17 games matter? I'm kind of opposite with you guys. Like there's some guys like if you're Zach Pickens and your Javonte Dexters and you've got Noah Sewell and even like year two guys, you know, guys like Avelis Jones or somebody like that. Those guys need to play because you literally have to play people at those games. But like there's some people I don't need to see DJ Moore in these preseason games. I don't need to see Justin Fields in these preseason games. For what? What am I going to find out about Justin Fields that I didn't find out about last year? That I'm not going to find out about week one. Like, I think those joint practices with the Colts and when you can do those, I think that's the best way to handle live action, like game speed stuff, because that's controllable situations. You want to go down there and you guys want to work 30 minutes on goal line defense? Let's do it. Versus, hey, if this is a game, the only chance you're going to get to work goal line defense is if you march it down the field and then you're going to get four shots at it. That's about it. So, like, I like the idea of these joint practices, and I guess, and it might be selfishly, it might be meathead of me, like, I want to go into week one with as many healthy people as possible to then, I mean, if they get injured regular season, like, they get injured regular season, and it is what it is. But stupidly, I just want to get there. Just get there, and let's start running. So, there's two different kind of ways to think about it. I think both are definitely valid, but at this point, coming up on game three of the preseason, maybe we'll see Justin, maybe we won't. At this point, I just want health. I want the people who are nursing injuries right now to get better, and I want to roll into week one with as healthy of a lineup as we can, and let's get to work. Bring on the Packers. Guys, anything else on the Bears? Oh, wait, I do want to get into one more thing. Isn't it typical Bears that we go from not having a franchise quarterback to now having two franchise quarterbacks?
Ooh.
Teabag,
secret agent man. It's awesome. I think that he has, like, he's completely outplayed, was it PJ Walker?
And Peterman.
And
I would say
Peterman,
both.
Man. I mean, I think he's performed well enough to be your number two, or at least, like, stay off the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put him on the practice squad. You put him there, somebody's going to scoop him up. with the Brock Purdy situation last year, everybody's trying to find that like undrafted story.
Yeah, you diamond know? In the rough.
Keep just that. Like, yeah. Keep that guy on your roster. If, I mean, if you have to cut P. Will or P. Walker, you cut P.J. Walker. It is what it is. Like
you just cut Peterman.
Yeah, I mean, you could cut Peterman too. I mean, you could practice squad him, and that. I mean,
yeah,
it depends. I just don't want the money to be a thing. Money mm-hmm. should not play any role in this.
Well, yeah, especially because we have
a bunch money. Of it.
Yeah. You can for your backup quarterback, it doesn't matter.
Isn't this crazy that this is what we're talking about?
Anyways,
I mean, this is
so much money.
This is a markedly different conversation than we were having a year ago this time.
You know, some people are asking if there's too many cooks. You know, is there a problem in Chicago?
Oh, is there?
Does Fields need to look behind his back? That's what I'm hearing.
Isn't that I mean, I don't doubt that. Just because like Chicago fans are just the biggest meatheads. We need the Kyle Orton. Caleb Haney could be the one. It's just it's all, dude. We've lived this so many times. Like
Josh McCown.
Yeah, put in McCown. It just doesn't make sense. Like guys, we know who QB1 is, and that's what's nice. Right now, we're on the same page. Mm-hmm. QB1 is QB1. That conversation is
cut Jay Cutler. Put in Josh McCown.
Matt Barkley, the truth. Think about that. Listen to those fucking names that we just named off. We're in Glennon.
I mean, well, it's up there with that like Browns jersey, like
oh yeah.
Name. I mean, it's a bad list.
We somehow avoided that conversation.
Yeah,
during that time period where the Browns had like 30 quarterbacks, we also had like 30 quarterbacks.
Fuck 'em.
During that run.
Guys, anything else on the Bears you want to get into? Then let's move on. We'll get into some sports minutes. We'll go around the city of Chicago, touch base with a couple of our favorite Chicago sports teams. Producer Jake, you got the Blackhawks. Take it away.
Blackhawks season kicks off in just over a month from now, which means I think training camp is probably starting next week, 2 weeks from now, something like that. Short stint in preseason. I cannot wait to watch Connor Bedard play hockey. This is the closer I'm gradually just increasing the excitement that I have for this. The more I think about it, it's honestly up there with Bears season for me right now. Like I'm really excited to start watching these games again. Cause like last season was just brutal, hard life, only having one bad season and then rolling right into this. But I am geeked to watch. It's like having Patrick Kane all over again. Cause it's just, you just have this talent and you just can't wait to see what happens. And if it works out, then you have something to watch every night.
And then you get the fun of like building around him, and like every off season, like
oh acquisitions, yeah. And
who wants to play with him, and
right,
let's do the New Jersey, the press conference, you know, mm-hmm. standing next to Kyle Davidson with your brand new jersey,
and you're not done. I mean, they have so many draft picks coming up still, and you're gonna have a ton of money still. I mean, you have Bedard for 3 years on like $3 million deal, I think it is.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous.
Hockey's ridiculous.
That's 3 year. That's
three total
million.
Oh my god!
3 year, $3 million deal.
Gotta feel so bad when they see these NBA and NBA contracts.
I mean, any contract like being doled out, like the quarterback,
the Saudis, like, the Saudis. Yeah.
Streamers are getting like $100 million now too.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough.
Yeah, hockey's never gotten paid.
They won't ever either. You'll never drum up the demand, you know? Jake, anything else on the White Sox? Or on the, good God, on the Blackhawks?
Nope.
All right, guys, let's get into the Chicago Bulls real quick. Nothing much with the Bulls except Lonzo's back.
Yeah, fuck Stephen A.
Fuck Stephen A.
In the media? Like, what do you mean he's back?
I mean, like, he's back. He can stand up out of a chair one-legged. That means he's going to just be right back to form. He's going to shoot 40% from three.
I know when that recording stopped, he was like, Jesus.
He had to limp over it back then when he was done. Yeah, I mean, that video was comical. Lonzo was on Trey Young's podcast, which, again, everybody's podcast is apparently,
everybody,
huh?
Man.
Sub gang. So Lonzo was on Trey Young's podcast and just kind of talking about how unfortunate it all is, the injury, and, you know, excited that, you know, the GM's built kind of the perfect team around him and things were going well. I'm with that to an extent. Like at the same time, like, and now that we're like a year and a half removed from like that Bulls glory run, that was all of 2 months. It was all of 2 months.
It was a great 2 months, though.
It was all of 2 months. Like, if that was the peak, like, everybody should lose their jobs. Like, it is what it is. But Lonzo, I don't think Lonzo comes back. But it was just really, it was kind of sad, interesting to hear it from his perspective. You normally don't hear from these injured players, especially kind of ones like this, like high profile and a lot of drama behind it. It is what it is. I hope we see Lonzo again in a uniform. He all but confirmed that, or no, he did confirm that we're not going to see him 23-24 season. He'll be on the last year of his deal going into the 24-25 season with a player option after that. So we shall see.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, even if you go back to, like, I honestly think Lonzo fixed all of our problems. Had another defensive guard out there, someone that can actually distribute the ball as well, too. And just to have that ripped from us, I don't think we're going to make it to the playoffs and, like, be gangbusters and win everything. But I do still think about, like, what if? Especially because, you know, we also had another point guard that tore his ACL.
Chicago Bulls, what ifs.
Yeah, Chicago Bulls, what ifs. It's just, yeah, it's sad to see him talk about that because I know he's probably going through some tough shit, too. Mm-hmm.
As he swims in his pool of money.
Yeah, that's true. Never mind. Fuck that guy.
Got anything else in the Bulls you guys want to get into? Guys, and we move on to the Chicago Cubs. Jose, you want to take this one?
Yeah, so I have, haven't watched a single Cubs game this year. Oh, just come out and say that. Sorry about that. But I do know they're currently in a wild card spot, so that's nice. They're in good form. They've won 6 out of the last 10, according to ESPN. So, yeah, you know, it's, I think if you came into the season and you'd say they were going to be like, what, 20, 25 games above the White Sox, I think you'd be happy. So,
because if they were 20, 25 games above the White Sox, that meant we thought
110 wins. You broke the MLB record for wins.
And I think their plan to stay pat so far, it looks pretty decent. You didn't mortgage the future for what would probably be an improbable playoff run. So, yeah, I think if you're a Cubs fan, just soak it all in and enjoy the season while it lasts.
Yeah, not getting a lot of help from the Brewers. They sit 3.5 games back of the division right now, and the Brewers just went on they're on a little win streak right now. They swept the Rangers, arguably one of the best teams in baseball right now, and then fucked the Minnesota Twins. We agree.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't beat them in two games. So fuck the Twins. That's going to be tough. This is...
You lost to us.
Yeah, whatever. That Chris Murrow walk-off was nuts.
Mickey Mouse. Didn't even leave the ballpark. It's crazy.
It counted, though.
It's wild. It's wild. Those you hit two home runs in back-to-back innings. Didn't even get over the wall. Crazy. Baseball. What are we doing?
Ring it up.
MLB. Step in.
So the boys sit 3.5 back in the
Why
division.
Why is that there?
What, the basket?
Why?
Because it's fun.
It's fun?
Yeah. And it's got
to
catch.
You know what else is really fun?
What?
A home run robbery. You guys have never seen one.
You've
never seen one.
Not as fun
never
as a ball landing in a basket. You know how fun that is?
Have you ever been close to that basket, too, and like having a ball come towards you, knowing that it's going to go into the basket and you can just try to reach over and get it?
The safety of knowing I could launch myself.
Yeah.
I could land in the basket. This is basically Topgolf. With the little nets in front of you. And just if you lean out a little too far, it'll catch you. We'll pull you back in. Back to it, dog.
Nothing
Let's go.
Changed.
Nothing changed.
Those are the best home runs, too, if you're a Cubs fan. Like, especially you're in the bleachers, you see it coming. Like, there's no fucking shot this is leaving.
Hey, fucking
no
Cubs.
Shot. And then it just hits the basket and everybody goes wild. Those are my favorite home runs. The basket home runs.
Do you think the Cubs outfielders can't rob home runs at other ballparks because – half their games.
I wonder if there's like a stat associated with that. What is it like?
Oh, I could have had that one.
Well, it's got to be like a what the Red Sox, like no left fielder knows how to rob a home run.
Yeah.
It's a fucking monster. The old Humphrey Dome, was it the old Twin Stadium where it was like nothing but like
the plexiglass?
Yeah, dude.
The plexiglass was nuts.
Well, I mean, like the Diamondbacks center field is insane, too. It's just like it's just a wall with a line painted and you just got to hit it above the line. But it's like 420 feet
to the line,
to the line on a fly. But it's like it's because the line is like 15 feet in the air. So no one's getting up there to do anything with it. But it is. It's just a wall that you have to hit.
So, guys, I'm stoked about the Cubs. I think that if you would have told me at the beginning of the year, hey, with 25 or some games left, you're going to be in the wild card race, you're going to be 3.5-4 games back in the division, I'd take it. With the sell-off having been 2 years ago, you know, with that, that's not that long ago. And now here we are again after selling. You now have the number two farm system in all of baseball. And you're back. Not back. Like, I don't think this is a World Series contending team. But, hey, if I get to watch a couple extra games this season, sick. I'll take that, because at the beginning of the year, you didn't know what you were going to get. So, Cubs fans, let's be happy about this. Let's hope that you continue to get good production out of Cody Bellinger. Saya has found his swing, and that's really nice. Let's just keep it up.
I love the Cody Bellinger deal, by the way, too. Like, just taking a flyer out on somebody that you know was great at one point, just seeing if they can reproduce that magic. I don't know why teams don't do that more often. Like, for me, like, just seeing Cody Bellinger get paid like that, peanuts compared to, like, what you think he would have been like 3-4 years ago. I don't understand why teams just don't take out these flyers a lot more. In any sport, really, not just baseball. Because a lot of things could happen, whether it's just they need to change the scenery, maybe they fucked something up with their approach to the game. Why not? And then looking how it's paying dividends for the for them, who knows if he'll sign back. But, like, you got maximum value out of somebody that everybody else is kind of just like, he's toast.
Well, and you would hope that, like, that the fact that the Cubs were the ones to go out and sign him to a pretty good deal, I would say. I mean, that was a nice chunk of $17 million for him to get for 1 year of ball, a prove it deal for him. He's held up his end of the bargain. For the Cubs to be the ones to go out and spend $17 million on 1 year of a player that you don't know what you're gonna get, like, props on everybody around. You hope that this is kind of some tokens and some bargaining chips towards when you work on that offseason extension with them. Cody should be one of the first conversations you have. Lock Cody up. He's shown that he can do it for more than just half a season. Let's see what we get from here. It's Cody, it's Otani, or bust.
I have a question for you guys on Otani.
Otani's coming, dude.
Yeah.
What's up?
So, obviously, Otani's going to garner a contract that we've never seen before across sports. But do you guys think that he plays both sides of the ball the entirety of his career? And I personally don't think he does. How many years do you think he throws? Because I think that a lot of teams are going to talk about that at the contract discussions, and the numbers will get, I think, a little bit less than what we've seen, like, talked about, like, these projections, like, what Otani could garner. But, I mean, like, I think it's unlikely that he's pitching and hitting for the length of his career.
Oh, I think so, too, because he's 28.
I don't think he's pitching.
He's 29 right now.
He's 29 years old.
I mean,
it's not feasible for you to think that.
I mean, someone offers him, like, 8 and 500. I mean, how many years is he throwing?
I mean, but even if he throws for 3 years and then gives you
45 home runs,
gives you 40, 45 home runs a year just as a DH, you can play him in the outfield. He's shown that he's serviceable. And, like, hey, eventually, if you ever needed a weird spot starter,
I was gonna say, like, there's a scenario where he, like, I don't even know what this looks like in the rules, where he, like, becomes a closer. And he's, like, batting, and ninth inning rolls around. It's like, I'm pitching.
Just another Shohei rule, just like they have now.
Just like the one right now, yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me just because he is.
Or he's able just
to
like
do
some
it,
relief pitcher. I would love to, because you know, like, stuff gets really crazy in the World Series with pitching, mm-hmm. where, like, starters just come in relief and stuff like that. If he ever got to a World Series, I wonder what his usage would look mm-hmm. like.
It's tough because, like, you even, what is it, the Babe Ruth only pitched and hit 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was like
we've already seen that.
Yeah.
We've seen 3 years.
3 years max.
And I feel like he's leaving every other start early. He left today after 1.1 outs or 1.1 innings.
I bet you I'm with you that number's going to be that number's going to end up being less, because I think that'll be something. Some team might say, hey, fine. Give us 2-3 more years of your arm. Give us 5 years of your bat after that, and we'll sign you for $500 million. And we know that the difference is going to be made up in the fact that you brought asses to seats and people bought
jerseys,
your jersey
all
and,
around the country.
Yeah,
Japanese sponsorships.
We
that
traveled
no
well.
One, like, will ever like here will know. I mean, like, I don't know if you guys ever watched an Angels game, but like the advertisements behind the dugout or behind the backstop are just like, I mean, they're all in Japanese. I mean, they're. They know that they have eyes on every game.
And that's where it does make it up. And I could totally see somebody paying it just because you know that bat, arm, and then anything else is made
marketing.
Up by him. I mean, it's still a paid for itself contract.
It's a good deal, regardless. Like, no matter what he gets paid, you can agree with it in some capacity.
You guys know they're like 9.5 back right now. They didn't sell at the deadline. Now you're 9.5 games back and you're gonna lose Shohei for nothing.
I think they have like a 0.4% chance at the playoffs, and that's nothing.
Just crazy.
You have to go on like a torrid win streak.
Yeah. So that's nuts. But guys, anything else on the Cubs you want to get into, Jose? Nothing?
Nothing.
Then let's move on to the Chicago White Sox boys. Me and Jose are gonna take a step back. We're gonna let you guys do your thing. Take it away.
I wish I had a fresh beer to crack on this beautiful, beautiful day and this week.
Let me go get you one.
It's one of the better days of the last like 3 years. I mean, ever since, I think the greatest White Sox moment since the World Series was the Leury Garcia game.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs, and then today.
Yeah, I think those are the two brightest moments of the last 3 years.
And really, it's like...
We have no hitters in there.
There was a couple no hitters, that's right. Really, it's the Kenny thing. It's Kenny being gone, because I really didn't know if it was possible or ever going to happen at this point. I mean, we've talked about it. He's like top five longest tenured employee in all of sports. It's been like, how many years has it been? 20, 30?
For Kenny?
Yeah.
I believe 24.
24 years he's been employed. And in 24 years, they've won 3 playoff series, which included that World Series win. And that's it. They've won 3 playoff series. And he's retained his job as president of baseball operations.
Mm-hmm. He's been promoted, but he's always been in charge of moves or something.
He has input in everything
in baseball decisions,
which is just asinine. But he's retained his job all this time. Rick Hahn also gone. I feel bad for Rick. I do. I liked Rick.
Really?
I like
Rick in the media. I like the moves that he makes for a rebuild.
I agree. He should be
signings, and I hate how he's just like addicted to guys he loved when he was like. When he was coming up, when he was with the Red Sox, or whenever he was with some sort of team, he loves old dudes.
Don't disagree with anything you're saying. I feel bad for Rick. I like Rick. I do. I liked Rick. I liked hearing him talk. I liked the guy. I'm sad it didn't work out. I'm sad he didn't get the job done. He deserved to be fired. I do like him. It sucks, but Kenny, I don't like. That's just where we're at.
You think Pedro goes down in all of this?
Probably.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're going to bring in a new...
Who wants their guy.
Head of baseball, basically. He's going to be GM and president of baseball operations. Like, it's going to be one job now, so they say. I will believe everything when I see it with this team. I
just hope it's not another internal person.
Oh, it's going to be Chris Gutz.
Yeah, that's what I hear, and I'm just not into it because it's like, I mean...
You guys went through the rush yesterday of like, they fired him.
I mean, someone new will be good regardless. I know he learned from Hahn and Kenny, but I wish it was someone external. An organization that has success.
The other thing is, yes, very excited for all these things. Jerry Reinsdorf still owns this baseball team.
For now.
I don't believe.
He isn't selling.
I don't believe any.
Changes hands when he dies.
All of those reports. Don't believe any of it. I don't believe he's moving the team. I don't believe he's selling the team.
Well, he tried to do the move the team to Sarasota back in the 90s thing. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, like, piss off, you're not going to move. And then he got that sweetheart deal at guaranteed rate or the sell. So
everything you know about Jerry, the track record, even that moment right there, what you just said, he's probably doing it again. I'm moving the team. We're 6 years away from the end of this lease. I'm going to move. We're going to sell the team. I'm going to move.
Don't leave.
Here's a discount deal to stay. And we're back.
Don't you just let him leave?
Loves a discount.
What do you mean let him leave?
Well, I mean like.
I mean, what market? Like.
Go to Nashville.
I mean.
It's not bigger than Chicago.
Sure, but they're not the number one team in Chicago.
So doesn't matter.
There's a number two team in LA, in New York. I mean, there's number two teams everywhere.
Is the number one team in
Should the Mets be moving? I mean, the Mets are...
I'm with you.
The Mets are, like, in a worse situation than us.
I'm with you. Oakland's moving.
Yeah.
I mean...
But I don't think Oakland's a market. I mean, I understand like what those fans have been doing and the reverse boycotts and showing out, but I also understand that the product has just been pulled right under their feet, like in Murphy and Olsen and all these guys that are on great teams and making their own playoff runs. Like, if you look, like, you could have built a pretty decent Oakland A's roster 5 years ago. And it's just, I mean, I understand what those fans are doing, and like, but they haven't shown up year over year. I mean, their attendance has always been bottom 5%.
Doesn't this seem like with an internal hire, with getting rid of those guys, with kind of the direction of the team and kind of this, I mean, it's been well documented that like this is a money-making vessel for Jerry. Like Jerry really cares about the Bulls. Doesn't really care about the White Sox too much. Couldn't you see a situation where this is kind of the golden parachute thing, where this is kind of the end here? Get somebody in to be the placeholder, keep Grifol because we need somebody to manage during this, keep all these guys, and then make your money and go.
So with Jerry, when he bought the White Sox back in, I think, the early 90s or late 80s, either one, when he had this investment group behind him, it was set in place that he doesn't have to pay out their investment and like their percentage until he sells. So that's why it will never happen while he is alive, because he doesn't want to pay the money. He knows once he's dead and his son sells it, those people are still getting paid. But what we know about Jerry, he is not writing a check.
You think Jerry wants to pay capital gains? No,
no
fucking
no,
way.
No. Yeah, that's Michael's problem. Yeah. That's like, that is.
What do you guys think about a familiar face in Tony La Russa being brought in?
You know how
being the consultant.
You know.
Do I?
The glare that he gave you, dude.
Do you see, guys, Tony La Russa?
He's not looking well.
That's what Tony looks like right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Liver spots. I mean, he's 94.
Yeah, he was on the Cardinals broadcast the other day, and he
only Mercedes Lewis
bad.
Is older.
I think they just announced he has cancer. Like,
Who does?
La Russa. They announced it two days ago on the Cardinals broadcast.
Not Mercedes.
I thought it was Mercedes. I was like, that's terrible. I mean, this is still terrible, but
I told Jake earlier, this is the equivalent of like that 9 or 10 season show that you've watched, that like that last season. They start to bring all the people back, like the cameos.
What do you mean? That's the White Sox. They bring. If you've ever had a title, if you've ever cashed a check from the Chicago White Sox, you're always going to come back.
Yeah, the key fob never gets deactivated.
Can't wait for Sox Fest.
Cowards.
That won't happen.
No fucking way.
No.
Will there ever be a
actually
Sox
maybe
again?
With a new like front office, they'll be like, we want to answer the questions, we'll be out there. Because I think pulling the plug on it last year was just,
that was crazy. I can't believe they did that.
I can't believe some of the things they did to us as season ticket holders this season. I know Jake's talked about a few, but
the season ticket
just,
holder appreciation day
on Wednesday
at 1 p.m.
Nice.
On a Wednesday. Are you fucking kidding me?
Against the fucking Royals.
In May.
These guys don't work.
I think what's crazy.
They raised parking this year.
What's crazy too right now is you're starting to see, this is when the honesty comes out. This is when you get the real shit. The stuff that some of these guys have been holding because you don't want to upset somebody. Now at this point, anybody can.
Oh.
Like, this is how we found out that Kenny Williams only had the authority to trade to two teams and two teams only. And Rick Hahn found out that Jake Berger was traded. Rick didn't want to trade Berger. Kenny did. That's how he found out.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rick found out because he heard Kenny say, yep, we got a deal. That's how.
That's insane.
That's how.
When
Rick,
you have two heads not communicating but doing the same job, shit goes awry.
And what's this about two teams that he would only trade to? What was that?
He was only allowed to trade. Kenny could only authorize trades for two teams. It was the Marlins and it was somebody else. I don't know who the other team is, but
sure.
That's why Kenny was able to make this deal.
That's nuts.
It's fitting that it's another Jerry-led organization that has two heads and nobody knows what's going on. You saw it with Garin Paxe. I mean, you're seeing it with Acme right now.
I'm also shocked that the deal happened, or the firings happened in season,
weeks after the trade deadline.
Right? Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it a month ago? Why did you do it now?
because
nothing's changed.
Because you should have then at that point, if you knew that this was going to be, because apparently Jerry's been having these conversations for like 2 weeks now. You know, it was before the Keenan Middleton talks. It was right around there when like the AJ podcast and Lance Lynn got moved. That's when like some of the stuff started coming out. Apparently Jerry was in the thick of kind of figuring out who and what was staying and everything like that. How did this, like, Johan should be gone. Eloy should be gone. I mean,
you should. Oh, my God. Last night's broadcast, you see that?
At the post game.
That
post
dude, game, brutal. That dude is unbelievable.
For those that didn't see, they asked him, like, what did they ask? It was, like, something about the leadership,
about leadership
in the club.
Yeah,
house.
Leadership.
And he's like, I don't
house,
have an
what's
answer.
It look like?
He's
like, who's the voice? And he just.
He's like, we don't have one.
Yeah. And he just, like, looked dead inside. And it's just.
It's like, buddy, you've been here for, like, 5 or 6 years. Maybe it should be you. What are you fucking doing?
And, I mean, he's an all-time White Sox player, and I love him. But, I mean, like, from everything I've heard, it's not new. Jose Abreu wasn't a leader either. He just came in and did his job. Maybe he set an example on, like, how to be a consummate professional. But even the longest-tenured White Sox outside of Lurie Garcia, he wasn't a leader. But everyone looked to him in the media as, like, the guy. But I mean, even if he wasn't, I mean, it doesn't seem like we've ever had anything.
Yeah, and there's like there's definitely that's like the leadership examples. There's the rah-rah, stand in front of the room and get you motivated guy. And then there's the show up, put the work in, you know, and the consummate professional talk that we always talk about. When you have a dysfunctional organization, right, and you don't have that, you don't have the foundation built to withstand a lot of this turbulence and stuff like that, that a bad organization's inevitably going to find themselves in. So when your front office is a mess and your organization is a mess, naturally it's going to translate to a mess on the field. And if you don't have those vets to come in here and reel everybody in, to bring everybody together and focus that back on, you get seasons like this. Never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that.
Well, and you just hear all the talk about like what, like there's no accountability. Like you do something wrong, no one's like you're not in trouble or anything like that. It's like you give like all this leash and they take all of it. In fact, there is no leash. Like there's no control over anything. There's no oversight. There's no management. You know, it doesn't matter. Like nothing matters. They're just, everybody's just cashing a check.
Jake, I have a question for you.
Mm.
Hindsight, given the, how the market looked and like what names were being acquired around the league and like prospects and stuff. Is there anyone you wish the Sox would have moved? I know Marco's named Eloy and Johan. Is there anyone
that they would have moved?
That you wish they would have moved
off of the
just
team?
Just in terms of like what they would have gotten.
Oh.
Like, I mean, we got a haul for Giolito.
Right.
He was asked for us and he's been dog shit for the Angels.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, like, I'm just throwing it out there. Like, imagine the haul.
Lance Lynn's been great, though.
Yeah, Lance Lynn. But that's Dodgers black magic.
ERA,
like, that is
dude.
Dodgers black magic. That is like. That shit's different.
I mean, and Jake Berger's been on fire, too.
Yeah.
He's batting, like, .310, and he's got, like, 6 home runs ever since leaving. It's, like, it's insane.
Think about the return that you guys would have got if you would have moved Dylan Cease a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big question. I will say that this season felt immediately gloomy when we got the, like, Liam Hendricks news in the early, or in the, like, right before spring training. Like, our closer, the guy that we trust to come in and slam the door, is just gone. And the bullpen's just been terrible behind that. I mean, I will say, like, that was a dark spot of the season.
And, like, you guys as, like, diehard Sox fans, at what point do you, like, yeah, sure, you're upset about Kenny and you're upset about Rick and you're upset about Jerry and all this stuff.
Oh,
like,
the performance.
That's stuff that you've been upset about forever. But, like, at what point do you have to turn the finger towards the ballplayers?
Oh, it's
and the
absolutely
product
there.
On the field?
I mean,
you had guys
between
hitting.
Oh, it's. I mean, it's every day.
Tim's batting .230. I mean, the guys that like were trusted and to do their jobs when healthy just didn't, and then no one was ever healthy.
Yeah, I really don't know. Like I said this a couple of weeks ago, but there's just no one on the team to root for. Mm-hmm. You know what? No one has any personality. Like there's no heart to the group. You know, it's just it's ugly. It's ugly looking at it.
Do they have a home run thing? You know how like the,
yeah they put on
it's like a
Southside
hitman
so,
like it's like a
they put on like a
jacket
yeah
and
pinstripe jacket yeah. And like a you know
a top
Al
hat.
Capone type
yeah
you know hat
You guys should move to Nashville for that.
I think the Orioles do it right with the dong bong.
The dong bong.
The dog bong hits.
That's the one.
Yeah, I'm all in on the Orioles. They're a fun team to watch.
Guys, anything else on the White Sox?
Get rid of everyone.
Just everyone. Just start over.
You guys can just ride with us. You just root for a local team.
No.
I don't think so.
It's a lot of fun.
If the White Sox sell,
we got a basket.
And
I've bet on the Cubs before, and it's not a lot of fun. I saw them. This series with the Tigers has been a sweat pretty much every single
every
game.
Every fucking game. You're 4-0, you give up a fucking slam.
Yeah, I mean, I would never.
Javi Baez sucks. That's fun.
I don't know how you feel, but if the White Sox were to sell and like totally move out of the state, I don't know if I can watch baseball.
I don't think I would.
I don't.
You guys wouldn't pick another team? I would. Like, I know you can't pick the Cubs.
It would probably be when and if I relocated, like, in my life. Like, if I moved to a different city that has a team, I would just adopt them and just, like, become a fan of them.
You'd be, like, a Red Sox fan.
If I moved to Boston, yeah, fuck it, why not? Yeah.
Just going to move to Nashville and just follow the White Sox again.
Just move to, I'm going to be a Savannah Bananas fan. Yeah.
It's going to be that guy that likes players. I'm like, big Shohei guy.
Yeah, just follow him everywhere. LeBron, I wear every one of his jerseys.
I'm all about the umps. They deserve a little more respect.
Fuck those guys. All right, guys, let's move on from the White Sox. Let's get into Sammy Stats question of the week.
So guest hosting Sammy Stats question of the week. It's going to be myself. Just going to ask you guys. Gut reaction. What do you hate? Personally? I hate those, like, the really, really bright, borderline blue headlights. Anyone who has those, you can go fuck yourself. I don't give a shit how new your car is. You are blinding me.
Your brights aren't even on. I can't see.
I hate that.
I hate the stand-up and the flight people. I hate the stand-up. Ooh. Where the fuck are you going?
Yeah, we're all waiting.
We're all waiting.
We're all 24 rows back.
They've got a connecting flight. They've got to get off before you. Mm-hmm. Sit your ass back down.
I do love the announcement where it's like, we're running behind. There's folks on this plane that have connections. If you could please let them off first, plane lands, ding, everybody stands up. It's like, well, that announcement went out the fucking window.
I hate knee injuries for my point guards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hate knee injuries specifically for point guards.
Middle Eastern money from royalties. I fucking hate that. On how they're just investing in all the sports and ruining.
See, I for one hope that Middle Eastern money from royalties purchases my favorite baseball team on the south side of Chicago.
Falafel Nights.
Mm-hmm.
Kaminsky.
Falafel Nights.
With a cup of oil.
A guy in left field selling
crude oil.
Selling Modelo's and a cone of meat, dog.
There's a gas station in the parking lot.
Women can't come in.
Shawarma! Get your shawarma!
Just speaking of like the Saudi kingdom in the Middle East, do you guys know about the deal that they have with the city of Chicago regarding the parking meters?
No.
Do they own the meters?
So in 2008...
Oh, I do know about this.
The Saudi kingdom bought rights to the parking meters in the city of Chicago for guess how much?
It was like...
It was peanuts.
It's like $2 million or something, right?
It's about $2 million. Like, I think
whatever their currency
for every
is.
5 years, oh. It's a $20 million deal for 100 years.
That's right. The term. It's the term. It was a 100-year deal.
100 years.
100 years of the Chicago parking meters. Last year, they generated $328 million.
How does anyone in a contract negotiation accept a 100-year term?
In perpetuity, essentially.
Other than that, you're like saying
I'm not going to be around to deal with the ramifications.
Well,
of
other
the
than
this deal.
I mean, the like corrupt politics of Chicago just said, yeah, not in my fucking lifetime.
Well, they also probably got side deals too.
Oh yeah,
everyone
got paid.
You get your own deal on the side.
A condo.
100 years. Someone typed out 2108.
It was a typo. They just they added a zero by accident.
What if we just don't pay? Like, what are they going to do?
Or repo your meters?
You see a bunch of flights from Saudi Arabia coming into O'Hare.
That's a good question.
Fucking
can
Eddie
they sue?
Airways.
Could they just sue the city?
What happens? Like, And go like to like New Hampshire court or something.
Well, they could probably take the city to court.
Dude, fuck that, dude. I'm with Chicago if they do that. I'm tired of them getting their fingers into everything and ruining the purity of professional sports.
Purity.
The purity. Yeah,
for sure.
Jose, Jake, what do you guys hate?
I hate traffic.
I don't hate a lot.
I hate sweating.
Yeah, dude, sweating sucks. People who don't pick up their dog shit. Those people suck.
When my employees call off on the one day they're supposed to come into work.
Yeah, it sucks.
It drives me insane.
What's her name? Just dox them. What's her name?
I think I've had three this week. Like, I'm not coming in today. What the fuck, dude? It's 2 days a week.
Oh, those social media pranksters. I fucking hate them. Mm. I think they're cringe. They're like 30-year-old.
It's all very cringe.
It's just, I don't get it.
Tough watch.
I feel
tough
old. Watch.
I kind of hate social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. I kind of hate new social media.
I do dislike the new Twitter severely.
Really?
X.
I don't mind it because it's the same. I just more so mean
the
like,
algorithm's gotten insane.
Yeah.
The algorithm has changed. I'm getting more like in the For You section, the content is just content I've never seen before. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, I'm not interacting with anything, and this shit just keeps
rolling in.
Right. And OnlyFans chicks.
Yeah, conspiracy theories. And it's like, mine's more of that. I'm not getting what you're getting.
You ain't getting that?
No.
Sick. Really? That's crazy.
I deleted my Twitter, yeah. But I was getting that when I was on there.
That's all I get.
It's strange how they just know me.
Fucking
all is my mine is all like either far left or far right, like political conspiracies, and then like the White Sox sold. Kenny Williams is fired.
What do I hate? That's it. A lot
Democrats are touching kids. Like, what is happening?
The fucking Chinese and their space lasers are burning up Hawaii.
Fuck, man. Really? You guys don't get OnlyFans chicks on your Twitter feed?
I do.
It's like, and I'm like, I don't follow any of you guys. I'm just scrolling on my
It's
lunch.
Always free, and it's like,
I'm looking at
I don't give a shit. Yeah. I don't.
Do you anime? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
My
no.
Reddit, like communities you may like. So, oh, yeah, actually, you're onto something right there.
Boy, do I.
Reddit gets me.
That's a good one, Jeff. Jake, what are you looking up?
I was just looking at my Twitter feed.
Oh. He said, wow, look at that.
This shit's wild.
Guys, let's move on. Let's get into some schmegments. We'll do a little Not That Guy. Jose, who's this week's Not That Guy?
Jose Perez, Little League coach for the Cuban team. He's just gone.
Yeah.
He's missing.
But good for him.
Yeah, he defected. But imagine like coming over here with a bunch of kids and just dipping out. To me, that's fucking wild. I mean, good for him. Who knows where he's at? But
Atlantic
just the
City.
Optics. Atlantic City.
He's on just, a heater.
That's just a tough thing to do, like come over with these kids and just dip out. But yeah, good for him. Hopefully he becomes naturalized, and I wish him the best of luck.
Trevor?
For me, Not That Guy is Trayvon Diggs. My man needs to understand that his likes on Twitter are public and that you can't be liking OnlyFans chicks.
Back to this. See? The algorithm fucked up, man.
Everyone will know and you will be ass blasted on Twitter.
This is like a...
Great choice of word.
I don't know if I want...
Given the like?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if... I'm not going to name him, but one of our friends used to like porn content on Twitter and it would just appear in my feed. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm at work, damn it. This is not what I need. Also, shame on Twitter for telling me what other people are liking randomly. Unless if it's retweeted, I shouldn't see it. I don't know.
It's
that's horny award.
Yeah, we don't kink shame either. Remember when Cortez did that?
Yeah.
On Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I miss that guy. Fucking Frosty.
That's good stuff.
Jake, who's Not That Guy?
This
guys, my Not That Guy this week, I'm actually going to do That Guy or Not That Guy, depending on who you want it to be. Who is that guy this week is Mongo. Who's Not That Guy then is the Pro Football Hall of Fame for having it be this long and taking this long to get Mongo into the Hall of Fame. Mongo's in. And I don't want it to be because of sympathy, because I don't think, like, Mongo had a career. Mongo had 94 sacks from the defensive tackle position. I mean, a multi-year, like, all-pro, like, just arguably one of the best defensive players in Bears history and, like, of all time. Like, Mongo deserved Richard Seymour, one of the old clips that we always play. Richard Seymour was in before Mongo. It makes no sense. So I'm happy for Mongo, obviously going through a ton right now in the fight of his life. It's a lot of good news for him and for his family. It's well deserved. Super stoked for Mongo. So he's that guy, and Pro Football Hall of Fame, you guys suck.
It's ALS, right?
Yes.
That's brutal.
That's brutal, dude.
That's Luke Gehrig's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guys, I will run it right back, and I will do who can or cannot dog sit for you, not dog sitting for me. Guys, is the Columbus Zoo.
Oh, shit.
You guys know how I am about my stories of the zoo. This one was crazy. So this one, the Columbus zookeepers are in trouble because, to their surprise, this was a couple weeks ago, I missed it, the male ape Sully, they walked into Sully's cage or den, whatever you call it. Turns out Sully's not a male. Turns out Sully's a female. And Sully had a baby. So they had no clue.
It's a big mess.
They had big. I would think.
You would think it's a big miss.
I would think it's a big miss. If we come from the same place, I know what I look like, and I know what you see and what you don't see. How did you miss this? If you guys missed that, you can't watch my dogs. There had to be a.
That's lack of the observation.
Ohio zoos and apes. What's, I mean, like, shit is awry.
What's a gorilla penis look like? You know what I mean?
Google that. That'll change your Twitter feed just, real fast.
Never mind.
That's a whole new algorithm right there.
So I gotta move on from that one. Jose, who can or cannot dog sit for you?
Who can dog sit for me is gonna be you and Jake for recommending the Bear to me.
Mm.
Oh, yes, nice. Yes,
weekend,
chef.
Week and a half Heard. Ago, I finally went through and binged it, and just an incredible show. So fucking good. Mm-hmm. Can't believe it took me so long to get into it, but yeah, highly recommend it for those who haven't watched it. It's so good.
It's, if you've ever worked in the food industry, like, mm-hmm. just the trigger that mm-hmm. is that show is just like, oh.
Honestly, as someone that was in the kitchens for almost 5 years, I mean, it took me a while to watch it. I didn't watch it in its entirety until this summer, because like, just like the like printer and all the sounds and the yelling. I mean, it is,
that was
like
Marco
said, it's triggering.
The takeout order one.
Yeah.
That was a hard pause
for me. It was like,
yeah, dude, it's just like, even like, what, this season, the Christmas episode.
I think that was one of the most incredible television episodes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think that was a movie of an episode.
It was a movie of an episode. It's crazy how that show is like, yeah, this episode, like the kitchen episode, the mm-hmm. or the takeout episode was only like 20 minutes. And then like other episodes are 30. The movie episode or the Christmas episode was an hour.
I think it was an hour.
It was
yeah.
an hour.
And like the beauty of that episode too, just the show in general, like you have something as chaotic as that episode where it's just nonstop. Mm-hmm. The tension's building. And then the next episode you have the Forks episode where he's going, I'm not going to spoil it, but just a huge contrast in style where something is so tranquil and uplifting. Compare that to something that is just soul crushing from a family dynamic. They did that show brilliantly.
And all the characters like are so unique and like have something about them. Yeah.
What's awesome is, you know, and it's a very like location based for us. Like we understand, like we really get it.
The
characters and stuff. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know one of everybody on that show.
Yeah.
There's somebody that you know that is one of those people on that show. And it's just, it's super cool. It's different. I really, really enjoyed it. That episode, that Forks episode, I ended up finding out what restaurant that is. And that's a legitimate restaurant, mm-hmm. like 3-star.
It's a lineal, right?
Out of this world. Yeah. Dude, it's like $350 a person.
On an off night.
And that's like for a whole 12-course experience. Like you're just, you by yourself, you need to wait months to get into there.
Yeah.
Super cool. Super cool.
Alinea is incredible. There's a chef's table on that. Highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Trev, who can or cannot dog sit for you?
He can't dog sit for me. He can't house sit for me. He can't even watch any kids. And the reason he can't house sit for me is because my house is within 500 yards of elementary school. Can't dog sit for me is going to be Wander Franco.
Nice.
Absolute piece of shit. Allegedly. but I mean, it feels a lot. Pretty much certain. I mean, yeah. Investigations are taking place, but
if this one comes back around, I'll back out. But yeah.
I will come on and like damning. I will redact my statement, but
he's never gonna play another game.
And that is crazy. The talent is just inside of an absolute shit bag. Like,
and they just paid him.
They paid him so
much. Dude, he got paid so much money. But like the talk apparently was like as soon as he got the bag, like you started to really see like
who he was,
his true self, mm-hmm. and like the immaturity of him. I mean, the dude got benched in a season where like
they're going for it.
Like they need him, mm-hmm. and they were like, "Look, we're still probably better off without you." And then you find out about all this, and it's like we need to move on.
And like, I mean, in the DR, there's no such thing as a consensual relationship between like an adult and a minor. I mean, it is just every which way fucked up. And like, I mean, even like. I mean, you'll never be in a locker room again because all those guys have kids and they're like,
well, how could you ever?
You're
yeah.
a sicko.
I mean, yeah, like it's like, how could you like, it's like the Trevor Bauer thing, you mm-hmm. know, and like Trevor Bauer is back and like able to be back or something. Even then still like
this that's what you're into.
This is so fucked up.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Not that or Noah cannot dog sit 100%. Jake.
Dog sitting for me is going to be the interns, especially Trev. Short notice. I gave him like a half hour heads up. If you're that reliable in that short amount of time, you can watch my dog.
Can totally watch my dog.
And these dogs are great.
Love the dogs. Guys, yeah, shout out to the interns. We have the best interns in the whole world. So I appreciate you guys always coming prepared, ready to go. It's a lot of fun. We have a blast.
Thanks for having us.
Blast, guys. Anything else you guys want to get into? Then that is a wrap on episode 82, guys. A little look ahead to episode 83. We'll get the guys back in here. We will do our official schedule episode. We'll pick wins and losses. We'll talk division winners. We'll talk award winner predictions. We'll kind of get into everything that is the beginning of the football season. So, guys, ride with us. It's a blast. We love coming back every week, and we'll see you at the next episode. See red, bear down. God damn it, I love you guys. Bears.
See you, Red.
Damar Hamlin, comeback player of the year.
It's Bears. Bad. It's so bad. They don't win. Now I ain't saying she a gold
digger. But she ain't messing with no Richard Seymour. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. The boys are back.
Not that guy.
Get down, girl, gon' head, get down.
How big are you on sports? Get down, girl, gon' head. Not that guy.
I need to put notes on that.
Right. Oral Roberts, yep. Man.
I'm drunk.
Drunk. Bears.
It's looking more like Jake might have been right, but do I know anything about that man? Absolutely not going into that, right?
You don't have a choice.
No, that's not what I said.
Okay.
I watched all the tape.
To say where you work, but and then get the hell out of the chair.
The best friends in the whole world.
Go Chaos.
Especial.
Not that guy.
Marcos disagrees.
Sean's legally blind.
Let him up, you dumb bitch.
It's Malort.
What if he wants to be here?
Yeah. I rode with him for 3 weeks, dude.
Football guys.
Really fast.
I need it in like 15 seconds, though.
Yeah, never. Your face is too narrow.
That guy.
Dude, I love and celebrating.
The Malort's on the table.
We're doing our best to put out as much as we can put out.